in this it's underground tunnel by mga
tinitin. Kasi minsan, kami na lang ni Jose dito.
Kasi yung wretch.
Si Rich.
Defective.
Well, anyway.
Alright, so today, we are talking about deck building game. We're gonna touch a little bit on engine building.
So let's discuss.
Depends on how long it will take us on deck building.
So for people, let's clear this out first. Deck building is not TCG. We're not talking about Magic the Gathering. We're not talking about
TCG meaning trading card game.
Trading card game. We're not talking about Magic the Gathering. We're not talking about freaking Vanguard. We're not talking about Pokemon the card game. We're talking about DC deck building. We're talking about Legendary.
Yeah, so the way deck building games work, and the big daddy, the big grandfather.
Yeah, it's where it all began.
Is Dominion.
Dominion.
At least Dominion was able to really pioneer and break ground in terms of getting this concept popular.
Yes. The first time I played it, my mind was just blown. I mean, you think you're playing a card game, but there's so much strategy.
Yeah,
in it.
Card games have been in the market for so long. Since the of course, you know, people are used to here's a deck of cards. Most of the games back in the day would be one stack.
Yeah,
and you're working with that stack, but. Come the era of board gaming, where more modern ideologies came about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we already discussed action selection, set collection,
roll and move,
card play. Those now sort of gave a framework of what makes an interesting game.
Yeah.
The games are interesting because of what I said, like what I said last time. It gives you a continuous set or series of interesting decisions.
Mm-hmm.
If you have if you're playing a trading card game, normally you build your own deck. The decisions are very tactical.
Yes.
But in terms of the heavy, you know, thinky, you're crunching which one should go in, are all done before the actual games.
Yes. Or based on previous games, previous tournaments.
Yep. With deck building, they were able to compress that experience into now every turn, you are faced with an interesting decision of what you can add to make your deck
to improve
to more powerful or to improve, more optimized, and so forth. And that was mind-blowing when it was first released.
Yes.
I came from World of Warcraft. My first exposure to deck building was with Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed
mm-hmm.
on how, wow, I can still see the fantasy. I can still see the storyline flow, which what attracts me in collectible card games.
Mm-hmm.
I can sort of see that in Ascension.
Yeah, because you're fighting monsters, and yet you're buying stuff that would help you fight another monster in the future.
So how... Okay, just to explain how deck building normally works. This is the base mechanic. You start out with a market.
Usually 10 cards.
Four cards available for the market. There's a big stack.
Everyone has a starting deck.
Then you have a starting deck, normally around 10 cards.
Around 10 cards.
And then you will draw, more often than not,
half
of it.
Yes.
So that the basic deck will be equal to everyone.
We're teaching you how to make your own deck building as well. Just slap on a theme and yeah.
So you normally have a set of resources and then maybe some powers or whatnot.
Yeah.
So those are your basic set. You will then draw your hand, play what you get for that hand
mm-hmm.
on your turn, and then you acquire stuff from the market and then you add them to your pool.
Yes, sir.
To your deck or to the discard. First to the discard.
Yes.
Then, once you're done, you draw again to your hand size, to your maximum. So you draw back to five cards. That means that you no longer have cards in your deck,
mm-hmm.
in your library. So the next time around that you have to do this, this is where the deck building revolves around it. Remember I told you earlier that you acquire the card and you place it in your discard.
Yes.
Whatever is in your discard, you shuffle all of it back, turn it back into your library, into your main deck, and then you draw your five cards from there. And that's where the deck building
comes from.
It's you, every turn, acquiring more cards,
adding cards,
removing cards, optimizing, and whatnot. And then building up an engine, and that's why I said deck building and engine building is quite related.
Yes.
It's because your deck now becomes this machine, eventually, where it can perform really spectacular feats.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do we mean by optimizing? Because eventually your deck will be big enough that you don't draw the cards that you want.
Yep.
So by optimizing, we mean there are cards that will allow you to remove cards from your deck.
Yep.
So you can remove cards that are not really useful anymore, are not really helpful, that just slows you down in the process. JC,
so from...
feel free to just...
From Dominion, I think that era, Thunderstone came in.
Yes, followed by Ascension. Sure.
It gave the theme, it slathered the theme onto Ascension.
To
Dominion, sorry. So
Dominion had basically...
You're a town, you're a village.
I actually don't understand how... I didn't get to play
I never got
Dominion.
Into the fluff, but... You're buying...
Fluff.
There isn't? I guess there isn't.
I thought you were a village, then you buy army.
No, but you get village.
You get village cards.
No, you
the stacks are called village cards.
You get,
village
no,
stacks.
I thought you were a village then.
I don't know.
Why are you... How can you get...
You're buying... Oh, yeah, you're expanding.
So you're
a kingdom.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay.
Makes sense.
All right, now... Dominion! So you're in a
domain.
You're expanding your domain.
Wow.
So no one really thought of it that way. It was more of a mechanical. It was more of a mechanical experience for the most part.
I think Dominion was able to flesh out. It's like, I think it discovered something. So it didn't really care about the flavor yet because it's like, oh my gosh,
what's this?
The cards can do this and that, and then it interacts with this, and you can build this. So they really, I think, they focused on the mechanics and the stuff that you can do.
Yeah.
So
over why?
Over why, and you know,
well,
go through the dictionary
and
do a random
you don't really say
die roll on what word they can come up with. Oh,
which?
You are the the well. The market.
The dutchie.
The woodsman. Or woodcutter.
So that's
where Thunderstone came in.
Yes,
it became a role playing game.
You know, and it said, "Whoa, that's an enticing system." I mean, you don't have to you're working in a closed environment, but it's never the same.
Yes,
either the chances of the gameplay changing every time you play is there. So it's like, okay. We can run a role playing game in this, and that's where Thunderstone started to evolve the idea of here's some challenges in front of you, these monsters that you have to defeat, and it's not just about I acquired some victory points.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know.
What was the five point card? What
was that?
It's estate. Province,
duchy.
So it kind of in Dominion it was always those three.
Yeah.
It's either you go for that. Yeah, you have to go for that.
You have to go for that. That's how you win.
That's how you win. I forgot. I'm sorry.
And then the expansions basically added one more of those, a bigger number.
Yeah.
But it's still that one thing.
Capital.
Thunderstone.
And I always didn't like the fact that if you use that, those things don't do anything.
Yes, they're dead weights.
They're dead weight in your deck, but I mean, it's victory points.
Yeah, but...
Let's take a look at the modern take on Dominion. It's exactly the same system. Paperback,
yes.
Paperback is a Scrabble game. Implementing Dominion, literally, it's because it's almost the same mechanics in it. here's the big plus. Those victory point cards,
they're playable,
are wilds. They can be used as part. So it's never a dead weight on your hand. Yep. And that's a genius addition to it. I hate games where, oh, just because you did this, here's some trash on your...
or here's
game.
A... Here's
which
a,
is actually a game.
Trains.
That's
Trains. Trains adds literally...
Literally adds trash. But, you know, with Trains, it's somewhat
Trains
thematic.
Trains by AEG.
Because of you're building on the board and you're trying to make this contiguous track. So yeah, the trash is okay to a certain degree.
To an extent, yeah.
Yeah, but Pathfinder. So again, sorry for the newbies out there. We might be jumping back and forth in different
games. It's a
touchy
subject.
We actually have a board here. And it was easy for us to list more than 10 deck builders. And we...
And there's still
still
a lot.
There's still a lot we have played and have not listed.
Yeah.
So we will be probably picking out names from the board when
we'll just cross things out like Ascension.
Okay. So let's stage this properly. All right. So for first let's communicate to our newbie listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What deck building game should they try out? What are your
personally,
recommendations?
I would suggest Legendary, the Aliens one.
But that's quite heavy for a first time.
Well, for my personal experience, I mean, who hasn't watched Aliens?
That is true. You can sell it through the theme.
Through the theme.
Which is, go ahead. And a player was able to convince me otherwise, slightly, with my animosity with DC deck building.
Yeah.
But,
so the cool thing with Legendary Encounters is... if you're familiar with the 4 Alien movies, the game...
Are they sure that in that age group?
Yeah. I mean, no. Aliens are popular now. I mean, Colonial Marines.
Well, what was Prometheus, I think, was
Prometheus is actually alien-ish.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
It was sort of derived from that lore, right? Yeah,
and
anyway.
Some people have seen Aliens versus Predator. So the cool thing with the first one. Do not count the second one. So the cool thing with Legendary Encounters is it has 4 setups. So it's like 4 missions that captures the intensity of each movie.
Mm-hmm.
So like Aliens, the second movie. You are Marines who are setting up for a battle.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the game do? The cards are weapons. The cards are... healing abilities. And the cool thing is...
Resource gathering.
And you're getting ready for a fight. And the cool thing is, whatever happens in the movie, that's actually your objective as a team.
Yeah.
So it starts from finding the source, then setting up the gun drones, then killing the queen.
Okay.
Like every movie. So the cool thing with Legendary Encounters is you don't know what you're going against. So like in the movie... Yeah, the Marines are, they just go, we have movement. They don't know what it is. Suddenly, it's an alien. Suddenly, it's a facehugger. So, I mean, I really believe it captures...
It does evoke the theme and the scenery and the feeling, the emotion, just as how the movie would portray
and
it.
And that's really something that you wouldn't really expect from a card game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I really love Legendary Encounters. And looking forward to Legendary Encounters Predators.
A friend of mine who attended our Tuesday, Playgroup Tuesdays, did point out one thing that Cryptozoic is doing well in terms of all these licensed games of DC deck building. Kyo.
Oh, yeah. He's very passionate about DC.
So he pointed out one positive thing that sort of made me think, okay, fine. I can forgive the kick gives you a punch, or I don't. I'm still quite
the thematic disconnect.
Okay, plus the weakness cards. My
disconnect.
Yes. But in terms of the theme, it does allow you to bring people in because who doesn't know Batman, who doesn't know Joker, who doesn't
fools,
know...
Only fools don't
know. Yeah, so because...
the, Marvel fans don't know.
Even their mother knows who Batman is.
Yeah, every Filipino knows who the hell Batman is.
Yeah. most of our problems are taken care of.
By Batman. He's got like a Christmas list over there.
So, exactly. So, with that sense, with that point, I think choosing the theme that works for you, the game is like what Reg said a few episodes ago. If you're interested with a theme, you can work your way through the mechanics and mm-hmm. try to understand it because you're engrossed with the theme. So if you're a movie buff. And you're interested in all these the Avengers, mm-hmm. then go for Legendary, Marvel Legendary. If you're into Batman or
The Flash is still the best DC character ever.
Sorry. Yeah, that's true.
His power is just, I mean, come on, super speed and healing factor.
He can travel. He can time travel.
Time travel. Right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's
bahala na si Flash.
For me, in terms of my favorite go-to deck builder, I actually had more luck explaining Star Realms.
Oh, Star Realms, awesome.
It's a one-on-one. I was able to teach
possible up to 3 pairs.
Four. Always in pairs.
Yeah. Three.
Because you don't have a third set of starting deck. but it's always interesting for that I was able to teach my wife Star Realms. And at first she's like, well, I don't get the theme, and go, oh, it's Star Trek. And oh, okay, the movie we just watched, and doesn't matter, all Star Wars or Star Trek, just
star in it,
just put the space theme, and these are the aliens attacking, you're the captain of the ship.
Why not have Star Wars license. Star Realms Star Wars Realms.
Star Wars. Yeah.
I mean, why not?
No, because it's cheaper to build it.
Yeah.
So you as the board game, the beauty of Star Realms is that it compresses all the mechanics in elegantly.
Yeah.
In direct contrast, High Command, for example.
Yeah.
It's a really good deck building game, but oh my gosh. The amount of rules that you have to go through because of so much things that it gave
might
you
happen.
Built in.
And
where you can bank cards before you, so that means you're sort of reserving a card for your next hand.
Yeah.
When you can discard the card to start refreshing the market. You can whenever you draw, you're automatically culling cards. Yeah, that's great. But for beginners,
no.
I still have difficulty running the game because my son loves it, but he sort of strays away from it from time to time.
And the game is imbalanced.
It takes long. Yeah, it's imbalanced for the
Gador.
The Gador, yeah.
Gador.
Sorry, the Kador. I'm actually waiting for the World War II version.
Oh,
High Command.
Which one?
No, World War II version of High Command.
Oh, really?
Using the High Command system, you're deploying
Germans or
Panzers and
so
that's interesting, right?
That's the first
because
take on
you
it.
Feel the building up of armies and sort of those armies staying on those locations and sort of being able to hold their ground, and the opponent, you have a stalemate, so you're not able to win that location. It's quite thematic for me, but it's just a long.
I think your son said something about paying for a unit, then paying him again to go into battle.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess that's a.
That's where they went a bit too far into making it thematic.
Yeah,
I think.
Because the explanation is you buy a jack or a soldier, then you have to pay extra for him to be deployed.
Yeah, I think because they just didn't want another number to figure out what to purchase.
They just
to
added
deploy.
Another like.
So they just said, okay, just pay the purchase cost again. I think it should have been something like discard a card.
Yeah, it slows down the game.
To deploy something.
It slows down the game.
It works already. Right there. Just discard a card to deploy one of the units.
Because you can play Star Realms in like 30 minutes and
play Star Realms.
30 minutes for Star Realms is long.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's an
like
epic game already.
But for High Command, that's like setup.
No,
because you have to choose choose a caster. Then you get to choose which deck he's specializing in.
What I've always been trying to figure out, whoever is gonna be willing to go, okay, guys, we're gonna play High Command. You get to choose which casters you want, but you build your deck from everything.
Oh crap!
No. Meaning. You choose the cards that you want to go into the library.
Fully custom deck.
Library deck.
Ooh, that's more interesting.
So you decide who goes in, right?
So and is this like a shout out to Privateer Press to make a War Machine TCG?
Yeah.
It's like a challenge.
No, because why did I like War Machine? The only thing I didn't like about it is the damage isn't permanent.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that, like that in games where I can slowly crunch. I can send my troops to slowly kill this huge.
It will eventually
die, or can throw a spell at it. That's interesting. It gives me more options to figure out how to
and
deal
you
with
feel
it.
The power.
Yeah, if it's just my guys are able to trump your guys, then you defeat. It's okay, but freedom the underground railroad.
Oh yeah, that's deck building, huh?
Okay.
Sabihin ko sana na
a few acres also.
12 years asleep.
Yep.
See, at this point, we're still writing down more games.
So there are, yeah, there is a lot, and it's quite overwhelming. You can really go into.
I don't know half of these games.
I know more.
For me, for intro, I would have also to go with
Rune Age is
DC.
A deck building game?
Yeah.
That's Rune Wars is the war game.
Rune Wars.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember.
Rune
that
Age is the only problem I had also with that game is the balance.
Yeah.
But that Rune Age actually had co-op, competitive.
Yeah. There's multiple
semi-co-op.
Modes.
There's a traitor aspect. So in one box,
there's
storylines in it, and really good art. But the problem is there's one
faction that.
It's
struggling
just
to survive.
Yeah, the one faction is just the weakest, and there's one faction who's just extremely overpowered. It's like, man, and I thought the expansion would balance
it
out.
It, Anvil and Oten Anvil.
It did.
Oh.
It
they tried.
Too much Anvil, not enough.
They tried.
So and there's also a lot of failures out there. I think Earth 3012, I think, was a funky one.
I guess not.
Tantu Kore.
I'd like Tantu Kore. It's just a bit too risky, I guess, for.
It's just
but if
odd.
You're an anime fan.
If you're an anime fan, it's
gonna.
A,
it's gonna
if
be,
you're an anime fan, you'd just be watching anime.
No. Because here, you get to hire maids, and then those handmaids you can upgrade to handmaids, and you acquire them by generating love, and then eventually, to score them, you have to put them in your quarters.
Oh my goodness! Yes, but that is true.
I'd rather watch Attack on Titan.
Okay.
But a smaller version of that. Well, actually, I found out about Valley of the Kings first.
Please do explain about that.
Before I found about, well, I knew about Tantu Kore, but I didn't know that you had to. There was the option of scoring it by, basically, you score cards by taking them out of your deck.
Yeah.
So Valley of the Kings works more or less the same way. It's just it's smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually
it's a
the size
small
of
box
a
game.
It's a I think double the size of a Hanabi box.
Oh wow.
Okay.
It's a small game.
Roughly it's like
108 cards, I think.
No, I mean the size would be like 3 inches by 5.
Yeah, more.
By
it's
three.
The love letter box, maybe an inch more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
quite
a small game, but it's a deck builder. So there's actually small box games that are deck builders. And what I like about Valley of the Kings is the cards you have are the cards that will get you the point, get your points, but there's also your engine.
Okay.
So at some point,
wow,
you have to break your engine. So for people who are used to playing deck builders, that's going to be hard for them to let go of your
core cards.
That is interesting.
So because you start off with your crappy cards, which in this case aren't that crappy because they're already
points
and they're already can already do attacks against your opponents.
Okay.
To some extent. And then you buy cards, and then those cards, for example, lets you draw more cards on your turn or gets you more money to buy better cards. But at some point in the game, and the game will end eventually, it's not... The deck itself is the timer.
Okay.
You have to start breaking your engine.
I see.
Before it's too late.
Before it's too late.
Okay.
Because you might have an engine that lets you draw
Ooh.
Your entire deck.
That is a very splendory aspect to it. Cool.
You might have that well machinated engine of cards, but you don't have any score, and
mm-hmm.
with that you won't win. So
it's playing Guildhall. It's like having fun with all the combos. Woo! I can do this and that.
And
one guy is just
30 points.
Using the tax collector and just gaining points.
God dang it.
I'm sending this to you. Sending this to you, draw. Sending this to you.
Yeah, so it's quite this is a small package, but it's something different from the normal ones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For, as I was saying earlier, for beginners, I would recommend the Cerberus system by Group Dezoic.
Okay.
But no, just because it's more popular.
No, because they have...
It does have a simpler footprint.
Yeah.
Compared to
Legendary.
In
a server system, usually you don't replace cards you buy. So
okay.
There's only 5 cards people are looking at
okay.
at any given time. So when you buy a card, it doesn't get replaced. So the consideration for what cards to buy
mm-hmm.
isn't that big. Unlike, for example, Star Realms. Although Star Realms is simple... Or Ascension, when you buy something, it gets replaced immediately. So that...
No, the problem with Ascension is you have an option to kill something or to buy something.
Yep.
So,
well, yeah. Also in DC. Well, it's not kill because there's only one currency, but you kill the villain.
No, I mean, no, you're comparing it to Star Realms. I mean,
Star
Realms, there's only one...
I mean, in the selection of cards you buy...
There's like 5 cards to choose from that would get replenished. But
yes.
Ascension, there's pretty much 10 plus plus.
Only 5. There's only 5.
No,
because
you have the monsters, then you have the...
No, it's just the coolest, the one thing that you can't buy anything good. You
also
always try
6.
To... Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
So if usually you want to buy something from the central row, but unless you don't have anything good there...
I don't like Ascension.
It's nice in the... I'll play it in the... As an app, but...
It's fantastic as the app.
Yes.
Ascension. The problem with Ascension is it has grown too big already.
It's eating itself.
When you guys are going to go into Ascension, please do not try to buy expansions.
Yes.
Just choose the newest or whatever flavor version that you are interested
in.
The big box one.
Inch yourself in there.
The big box one. And you can stay there. It can stay in your collection fine, no problem, because it does play really fast. You enjoy the really fast pace. The art is questionable to some people.
Yeah.
But some people like that. So it's fine. Just don't get another one. Because if you do,
a base and an expansion would work.
No, it's too much.
Just one expansion,
maybe the small one.
Oh yeah,
the small. But my experience adding just one small one, and people do complain, Ron, you don't have to sleep every card game. I have a rule. If a card game is good enough, it gets sleeved.
Yes.
It must, no good card game should ever be played without unsleeved. So
did the Ascension get sleeved?
Yes, it did.
Right. Part of it.
No, it did. It did. Yeah. And eventually I had to let go because I had quite a lot of deck builders already in my collection. So I said, okay, I have to retire.
One of them.
One of them. At least I found a few who's interested in
you
in,
are the weakest link.
Because you know,
how
ranking
about the new RPG variations now on deck building?
Ascension Pathfinder. Is it considered a deck builder?
Yes, it is.
It is.
It's still because what else would be? I guess
Shadowrun.
Oh, I like Shadowrun.
I like how Shadowrun, when you buy stuff, it goes to your hand directly.
It's a legacy game, more or less.
Yeah, it is. Everything is permanent in the Shadowrun
universe
board game system, deck building system. It's funky because you start out with a very small hand.
Yeah.
Somewhat like World of Tanks, where it's just three cards.
Yeah.
So it feels, this is it?
No, because we're used to 5, 6.
You know, we're used to a big number of
cards.
Hands. But the aspect where I have money and this resource, these coins, is not part of my hand. It's actual money that I spend and acquire a card. Hey, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now I have another dimension to the game. It's not just the cards. So
you can plan
That's quite interesting for me. And yeah, we talked about a few other variants. You have Puzzle Strike is a chip building game.
There's actually a file. They released a print and play file that you can have instead of printing it on chips. It's cards.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have problem holding up chips, 5 chips in their hands, and then each chip has something written on it, so it's kind of hard to hold unless you have a chip rack. So they made a hard version of it. I don't know if it's still up or if it was ever official.
Well, it's somewhere there in the internet.
Somewhere in the interwebs.
Interwebs.
On the line.
We are all
so I guess there's also deck building that's more confrontational.
Mm-hmm.
So of course number one we have to mention Star Realms.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the whole thing is confrontation.
Yes.
I mean come on, Blobs.
Puzzle Strike, also in that category.
I guess Marvel Legendary is confrontational. You're fighting against something.
You're fighting someone in your group.
Yeah,
Heroes of Graxia is one of those unknown.
It's an old game. But
it's one of the first ones that introduced the PvP aspect to deck.
So Star Realms wasn't the first one.
Yeah.
But
Star Realms is like owning everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen
Robert Daughtry needs to get his act together because he is sitting on a gold mine and he has to really organize fast. His issue right now is basically logistics, just getting his game out there because everywhere people are playing it.
The cool thing with Stardoms, the expansions are like a booster pack.
And it's so satisfying as a TCG player. It's like, I get to play a pack again.
Opening a pack, it's like, you know, you want something, but you know you're gonna get disappointed.
And this
too
one
they can't
use
LCG.
Yeah. And they're coming up with a new game called Epic. And it's actually based on his old game, Epic. He released it before. It's a real TCG, but it didn't really work out.
So he made a deck building.
But the learnings that they gained with Star Realms, they placed on Epic.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
But Epic is no longer a deck building game.
Yeah.
It is sealed, constructed, and draft.
Oh, wow.
So...
Oh, that's better.
The whole deck of, I don't know, maybe 600 cards, I don't know, or 300, not sure, are all unique cards. And all of them are epic. Literally. On turn one, this is what the genius of Robert Daugherty. On turn one, I drop a giant right away. I drop an epic character on you right away. There's no ramp. You know, typical TCGs and deck building, there's this gradual build-up.
But that's in epic.
Yeah, sure. The way World of Warcraft balances itself is that everything is kick-ass.
Yeah, that's true.
So then it just becomes this really fantastic, fun environment. Of course, it becomes really tricky at times, but yeah. So that is that.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Starium's has another version you were saying earlier.
Well, they're coming out with, and it's out already. Starium's box? No. A box for Starium's.
No, Cthulhu. Cthulhu Realms. I believe it's pretty much Star Realms 4-player with Cthulhu.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's...
I would love to see a dragon version.
Yeah, I thought that was epic.
No. Epic was different.
Eminent Domain. What's that? I don't know. That's old.
Eminent Domain.
Played it a week ago, I think.
You played Eminent Domain.
Yeah, but
okay.
Just with the base, it really needs an expansion to play it.
No, it's the deck building version of Race for the Galaxy.
Oh,
Race or what's the other one? Follow and the one with I forgot the name. Glory to Rome.
Yeah,
it actually feels like Glory to Rome.
No, we have some weird ones like Pixel Lincoln.
That was funky because it was trying to compete
nice.
With
Boss Monster. Yeah, Boss Monster isn't in there.
It's a dungeon building game.
Wrong D.
So, there was a question. Is Seven Wonders a drafting game? Deck building game. I know it's a drafting game, but will you consider it as a deck building game?
No.
Why? Because mainly you're drafting cards that builds your board.
Yes.
They don't get recycled.
Yes.
So when it's a deck building game, it gives you that satisfaction of shuffling. Every day we're shuffling.
That's like every turn.
Yeah, that's
every other turn.
Yeah.
For most of these games, it's best to play with three. So when it comes down to your turn again, you've shuffled your deck already.
Except for legendary encounters, I believe the game shines at four.
Yeah, but I mean, most of them should be played with three or more. Because if it's two,
except for Star Realms.
You're waiting for each other.
Except for Star Realms.
Star Realms doesn't build
JC,
up.
JC, what you wrote there, FZZT, what's that?
That was a deck building game where you have, it's actually another small box game where you have robots and you're using your robots to buy robot parts to build your schematics. And basically, it's a simple eco game, economic game where you manage your deck, your funds, and your points. It didn't really get that much buzz, but I enjoyed playing it.
Oh, and another.
It's not a... It actually got the natural copy.
Okay.
It actually plays to six with a small expansion which adds more cards to make it playable with six. it's the size of Valley of the Kings. So, one of those small things that has a lot of stuff in it.
Another thing that came about years later after Dominion is
Arctic Scavengers.
Was
supposed to be the game that's supposed to have come out, I think, after Dominion.
That's the one with like a sniper, right?
Yeah,
box art. Yeah, it's like this really cool guy hiding in the snow with a sniper.
Yep.
But that was actually thematic because you were basically
sitting there.
you're basically survivors, and you're trying to
scavenge
things in the Arctic. I don't know what you're doing there. Forgot the fluff, but yeah, you get medicine and scavenge the junkyards.
The other one, 12 acres of snow, I think.
Few acres of snow. Okay. That's more of a two-player. Is it a war game? I don't know.
I know it's sort of a.
It's a tactical.
Asymmetrical war game, I think. Yeah, but it is deck building, right?
Yes. The main drive.
You have the Freedom Underground Railroad is a cooperative game. You're trying to save slaves.
Based on the popular movie, 12 Years a Slave. No. Okay.
No.
Yeah, racist.
Shadow Rift is one of those. Again, I don't think anyone has it here.
No, we don't.
I have a lot of things written down that I'm not sharing with other people. But it's...
Yeah, we just crossed off like more than half now.
It's a cooperative game where you're trying to save the village. And
the game is still available at that store.
The villagers actually help you out.
Okay.
And you're trying to defend the village against monsters, and if the monster ever kills a villager, that villager, basically his stuff is gone.
Oh, okay. Parang ano, so samurai spirit.
So this one is a full co-op, unlike Legendary, which is someone is still going to be the better hero.
Yeah. Well, you're not your own hero.
Yeah.
That's a problem with that.
You're the better.
Which is weird.
You're the better shield
agent.
Yes.
Because you're hiring Iron Man's punch or Iron Man's kick.
Here we go again.
Captain America's shield throw.
Think of yourself as a Skrull. If you're in DC, you think of yourself as a Mezo, then everything works fine. In Legendary, think of yourself as a Super Skrull.
Yeah.
So you can have everything.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I guess that's it.
So I guess the question is, out of all of these, what's, not for beginners, but your personal preference, what's your
Star Realms.
The nearest to your heart?
Star Realms.
Star Realms.
And Legendary Encounters.
Thunderstone. I would give it to Thunderstone.
Yeah. I'm okay with only...
The cool thing with Thunderstone, I mean...
Epic Thunderstone.
There's two sets, right? You have Numenera.
No.
No, those are expansions.
We're
talking about the form, the play format.
It's the game is base, the Numenera.
It's an expansion, an advanced version.
Yeah.
So there's actually...
Yeah, Thunderstone Advanced.
Like you mentioned, there was Thunderstone, the first one, and it had 6 sets.
Yep.
Two bases and 4 small expansions. And after the 6th set, there was a storyline, the story concluded, and basically it became Thunderstone Advanced, which improved on some... It added up one more rule or one more action you can take, which makes... a lot of sense, and I don't know why didn't they put it in the first place.
Because they needed to sell more games.
And it improved actually on how the game works. Because before in Thunderstone, when you play it as prescribed or as originally designed, it was more of a build-up.
Mm-hmm.
You build up your deck before you go to the dungeon and kill stuff. With the newer versions of it, the advanced version, you can actually go to the dungeon earlier than
everyone else.
Earlier than would have been needed before. So for regular setups, I like advanced, and with the addition of Numenera, which added Thunderstone experience points with different colors. Each experience point actually does something different. So an experience point can now either help you level up your heroes or call a card without taking your action away from you. So it added that variety. But I still do like playing the old set, but only as epic.
Then advance.
I play advance with a normal setup.
Mm-hmm.
The older set as epic, which meant that all of the cards from all of the sets were shuffled together. So you never really knew what was in the village. So it wasn't static or stagnant. So when you go to the village,
I like the epic
it's
version.
Not always the halberd is there. I don't want the halberd. I already got three of them. Why do I need more?
Yeah, and I like how it's shuffled, but there's still stacks.
Yes.
And then you still have the upgrades and the system. So it still feels a very RPG-ish.
Yes.
One thing we did forget that is in the same era is Nightfall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a silent.
Why didn't...
It's like a...
I remember someone winning that.
Because it's on sale.
I don't know. Well, it would have been a good game.
It's the chaining colors.
The chaining colors is maybe became a little bit more of a deterrent rather than something...
It's because you're focusing on that.
It's AEG as well, right?
Yeah.
I think I like Thunderstone better. Because it was at
just
the time
like
when
the time
market
it
was
took.
Flooding the deck builders.
Yeah,
starting to flood everything.
So yeah, so I guess we all agree Star Realms is the best. After all
Star
that,
Realms,
Star Realms. No, Star Realms has found the magic.
So should
formula.
We fight over DC?
I think so. Star Realms has found the magic.
DC is better
formula.
Than Marvel. In this case. Only in this case.
DC is better than Marvel. Only in this case. Well, it depends on actually. Because I could own both.
What would happen in Marvel, you're very reliant on what heroes you choose. If you just went, hey, choose your favorite, I'll choose my favorite, we're gonna get screwed.
I can see that happening.
Because I mean,
Hulk and I would go.
I'll bring in Deadpool. You'll bring in Punisher. He'll bring in Cyclops. There's no chemistry. I mean, there's no combos. You're not gonna kill anything.
You're gonna kill yourself.
But I mean, for DC deck building, I believe it's
an interesting point in the server system. Each game they come out with, it started with, I don't know if Lord of the Rings was the first one or if DC was the first one, but basically with each set that they come out with, they add something, a little bit something more than the previous set.
Yeah.
But they don't add it back to the old set. So, for example, in the Street Fighter version, they have the
Guys, there is a Street Fighter deck building game.
The Ultimate that only your character
can learn. It's a Resident Evil deck building game.
Yes, that was...
No, that's the from Bandai.
No, but I mean...
No.
Oh, yeah, we forgot about that.
It's also from
Cryptozoic. Came up with a playmat.
Isn't it from Bandai?
All of them normally.
No, the translated one.
There's a Lord of the Rings. There's
Street Fighter.
So many more.
So I wish that... I wish by the end of the line, they would have one good game. Uniquely themed or unique... The universe is uniquely theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Which adds all of the little good things from all the...
I think that's where Renegade comes in. When... Now that Cryptozoic sort of split, and Cryptozoic maintains the licensing, Renegade is focused on building new stuff. So if I'm not mistaken, Epic Spellwars is Renegade.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, did you hear about the part 2?
Yes,
yep.
Epic Spellwars.
Mm-hmm.
They have it already.
Tentacle.
All right. I think before we bore our audience to
we actually diverted to Epic Spellwars, which is a really cool game.
We covered most.
Yeah,
of
this is quite an expansive look into to deck building as a genre. It is. It's been
many years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. No, 11 years.
Yeah.
Since already.
2009.
Nine from.
I don't know. Was it 2009?
Yes,
it's 2009.
Dominion.
That's when Dominion won.
Yes, we know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we do our research.
So when it was 2009, it's 6 years of deck building innovations.
And the game, the mechanic is not slowing down.
Yeah, and I think it's just even getting better. People are enjoying how Star you can improve upon having being a fast environment, or on the other side, like Freedom Underground Railroad.
Driving Main. One of the driving mechanic of the game is deck building.
Okay, thanks guys. And that was a. I hope you guys are still awake.
that was a heavy. I would admit. I mean, it's a slow progressing. It's
but there's just a bunch of.
Yeah, there's. It's a very big topic. I thought we could squeeze in engine building. I really thought, but dang,
yeah,
when we started listing down deck builders out
there. We went overload with all the games out. I don't know half of these games.
I haven't
Shadow
played.
Rift.
All right, so cool. Talk to you guys soon. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah, on our next episode, we'll be talking about.
Engine building.
Yeah.
Because we weren't able to tackle it today.
Ooh,
so
Euro hearts.
Yeah, so all those Euro.
So yeah, we actually get to talk about Splendor, guys.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I've been wanting to. Alright, so thanks guys. Please do share. Leave a comment. Like us on Facebook. We're getting there. Get the word out.
Yeah, so
and also you know, send us your questions on the comment. And
we'll answer the most ridiculous question.
And here's like Jose and Reg being the most horrible people ever.
Yeah, so let's do something interesting. We'll choose from a random commenter and they'll get to join us on our next recording.
They'll join us for a game.
Alright, thank you.
No, we should. I mean.
Yeah, let's do it.
Promo.
Yeah, no, just to see if someone's listening.
It's not just us downloading.
It's not just me refreshing.
Yeah, so hit your name and I guess a topic you would like to discuss on the show. Then we'll randomly choose. And by randomly, I mean we'll literally roll a dice on it.
Roll your profile pic.
I'll write the program.
So we'll look at your profile pic, if you're a girl, or if you're you know, in the hot stuff. No,
even the
not.
Picture is crooked now, see?
I should, but I don't.
Alright. See you guys. Bye. Talk to you guys soon. Bye bye. And that was Variable Play Podcast, which we forgot to do a while ago. That was Variable Play Podcast, brought to you by
no one,
because we're lame. Still don't have, but no donations. Nobody emails.